If you got your Bibles this morning, you'll want to open them up to Matthew chapter 1, and then look and keep your finger there, and then move over to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of different places this morning and read a pretty good amount of scripture verses, but we'll refer back and forth to those two places a couple of different times, and so that way you might want to mark those and be able to keep them together. Let me ask you a question. Are angels real? How many of you would say without a doubt, I'm an angel believer? I believe they exist. I believe they're in our world today. I think most all of us would think that, but I think also we have a tendency when we hear stories sometimes to write those off. I was reading a story this week that was reported several years ago, and there was a celebrated Philadelphia neurologist, and he was at home. He had had a long day of work one evening. It was in the wintertime and kind of snowy and wet and cold, and he had gotten home in the evening and decided he was in for the evening, and so he sat down there and got ready for bed, and about that time someone knocked at his door, and he opened the door and found that there was a little girl. She was poorly dressed and deeply upset, and she told him that her mother was sick, and she asked him if he would please come and check on her mom. It was a cold, snowy night, and he really didn't want to do that, but he got dressed and he followed the little girl. The story is told that when he found the mother, she was desperately ill with pneumonia. After arranging the medical care and doing the things that he needed to from a medical side, he complimented the sick woman on the intelligence and the persistence of her little daughter. The mother shocked him when she said, "Oh, I don't have a little daughter. My daughter passed away about a month ago." She said, "If you want to just see," she said, "her little coat, I still keep it hung there in the closet." And he went over and opened the door of the closet, and to his amazement, the exact coat that the little girl was wearing that night was hanging in the closet. He reached up and felt of it. It was warm. It was dry. No way she could have had that coat on, obviously, outside. Another story they tell about Reverend John Payton. He was a missionary, he and his wife, in the Hebrides Islands. Probably one of the last great, great, spectacular movements of God. If you haven't read anything about the revival in the Hebrides Islands, they're spectacular. When I was at Ardmore, we had a guy that was a part of those revivals come to our church and preach and tell the story of the Hebrides Islands. But the missionary John Payton was there, and one night he and his wife were at home, and they were there at their mission headquarters there at their house, and the hostile natives from the Hebrides Islands showed up, and they were intent to burn down his house and to kill him. John Payton and his wife just began to pray together, and they prayed and prayed and prayed all through the night. The next morning, as it began to be light, he looked outside and he noticed, for whatever reason, all of the natives that were there had just kind of gradually fizzled out and left and gone away. After about a year, the chief of that tribe was converted to Jesus. He became a Christ follower. And missionary Payton couldn't help but to sit down with him after he became a Christ follower and ask him, "Hey, about a year ago, you guys all came to my house. Can you explain to me why it is that all of you left?" And the chief of the tribe said to him, "Well, my first question that I'd like to ask you is, who were all those men that you had there?" And missionary Payton said, "There were no men there. It was only myself and my wife." And the chief said, "Well, there were hundreds of men standing with garments of silver that were shining, and they had their swords drawn in their hands, and they seemed in a circle at the mission station, and we were afraid to attack." We would all say that we believe in angels. But yet when you hear stories like that, most of us, I think, have a tendency to go, "Well," I would tell you this. I think like you, I would say I believe in angels. But I don't believe in angels because I've ever seen one. I don't believe in angels because of the stories I read. I believe in angels because the Bible says there are angels. The Bible tells us about places where angels appear on the scene and say or do specific things, and that's the reason that I and you, I believe in angels. We get to see a couple of those stories in the scriptures, and probably, I told you last week as we kicked off this series, probably the place that we see more often than any other place in all of the scriptures of an angel is when the angel appears at the tomb of the resurrected Jesus. if we were going to pick a second of those famous stories, really it's three different times, but it's with three different people. But it's still kind of the same timing, at least, and the same instance. And it happens in Matthew chapter 1 is the first of those places, the first of those places that we get to see. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18. That's not right. Let me look here. Matthew chapter 1. Yes, that's right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says this. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but he did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Now keep that story in mind as you flip over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, an angel also appears, and he appears to tell the story of how John the Baptist is going to be born as well to Zechariah, his dad, and to his mother, Elizabeth. It's verse 5, it says this. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord, but they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. When his division was on duty and he was serving as the priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your wife has been heard, because your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Now, that's Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 13. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. We get one more story here, and it's the story of Jesus' birth, only predicted to Mary as opposed to predicted to Joseph, that we read in Matthew chapter 1. Look what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, and consider your relative Elizabeth. She has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending angels into our lives. Lord, I thank you for the angel that you sent to Joseph, for the angel that you sent to Zechariah, and for the angel that you sent to Mary. Lord, for each of us this morning, as we look at these stories, I pray that you would just help us to listen with our ears and to hear with our heart. Lord, for what you would have to say to each one of us, for wherever we may be in life, the things that we're dealing with, the things we're going through, the things that are upon us and the things that are coming. Lord, I pray that you would let each one of us hear your voice in our lives this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to you and pray. I thank you for the opportunity we have together in church. I pray that you would forgive me of the sins in my life. I pray that you would help me to preach your word with boldness and with courage. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, that we would not let things in our life distract us from what you would have to say to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this story, and we see the idea in these three stories that when angels appear, there are certain things that seem to happen over and over in our lives. There are things that happen over and over when the angels appear. Obviously, the first thing is the first response for every one of them was fear, because the first thing that the angel says to them is, fear not. Fear not, fear not. For all of them, the angel, they appeared to be fearful because the angel said, fear not, except for Mary. But for each of us, fear is part of the unexpected. As we go through life and we don't know what to expect, as we have things come into our life and as we have those storms, I've told you that we're all going into a storm or in a storm or coming out of a storm, but as we have those storms in life, they create fear in our lives. Unexpected things in life just bring about fear. We all have two natural fears. We develop other fears as we grow older, but all of us have two natural fears. We have a fear of loud noises, and we have a fear of falling. All of us are born with those. They are natural to us. But I think one of the things that we all have is this fear of the unexpected, the things that happen. And for us, overcoming fear is part of growing in our faith. If you think about fear and faith in that sense, they really are total opposites. They cannot coexist. You either have fear or you have faith that God's in control and God has a plan and it's all going to work out. For Mary, the first word that the angel spoke to her was, he said, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Now that's kind of a strange greeting. It's interesting. It says in verse 29 that when the Lord said that to her, rejoice, that she was perplexed. She was kind of concerned. It's interesting at the story that it gives. It says, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. And it says, she was deeply troubled. That's not exactly the response that you would typically think of when the Lord appears to you, is that you would be troubled. It's interesting in the King James Version. I want you to listen to this. I thought it was great the way the King James Version translates verse 29 there with Mary. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. It's interesting that when the angel appears to her and says, rejoice, she still has a concern that, hey, there must be something to this just for an angel to show up. I don't know about you, but at times we probably pray that God would rescue us, or God would protect us, or God would send his angels to guard our children, or guard our spouses, or guard our church, or guard our country, or whatever the case may be. But then when God shows up, we're still a little bit nerve-wracked. Even for Mary, fear played a part of the birth of Christ, and she obviously chose to go with faith as opposed to going with fear. But for each of them, their first response was fear. The second thing that I think that happens often is when angels appears is that they are angelic ambassadors. They're representatives of God here to deliver a message for God. That's the case for them in each one of these stories. When the angel appeared to Joseph, he had a message for Joseph to hear. When he appeared to Zechariah, he had a message for Zechariah from God. When he appeared to Mary, he had a message for Mary. And each one of those messages were from God. We're going to study in our Sunday school lesson this morning that when God speaks, we're going to study about the transfiguration, and when God speaks, it says the disciples all fell to their faces. For us, we pray that God would let us hear his voice, but when we say that, most of us mean that we want to hear his voice in our spirits. We don't want to hear his voice with our ears. But at the transfiguration, it said they all fell. But when God chose to speak to Zechariah and Joseph and Mary, it wasn't his voice he sent. It was his angels with his message. They were ambassadors. I thought it was interesting when I was reading about ambassadors this week. It said an ambassador is one who acts on behalf of another as a representative or promoter of a specific activity. That's what this angel was doing. He was promoting a specific activity for Joseph and for Zechariah and for Mary. We know the angels are representatives of God, and that specific activity that each one of them were to promote was for Joseph. If you look at it in verse 20, he really gave Joseph two things. Number one, he said, I want you to take Mary as your wife. Because it said Joseph was considering not following through with his proposal. And it said the angel said, I want you to take Mary as your wife, and I want you to name your son Jesus. He gave a specific message to Zechariah as well. When Zechariah didn't believe, if you remember the story, Zechariah didn't believe, and so the angel said, hey, you'll not speak again until the birth of the boy. But he gave him a specific message, and the specific message he gave Zechariah was this: your wife is going to have a son, and I want you to make sure his name is John. Now, we know that to be John the Baptist. He gave a specific activity as well to Mary. He gave two. One of them was, he said, rejoice. And the second was, he said, to listen. It was important that she rejoiced, but it was important that she listened, because he then gave her three things. He said, I want you to know this. You need to listen close, because you're going to conceive a son, and you're going to give birth to God's son, and you're going to call him Jesus. I want you to listen, because I want you to get all three of these. But the angels had specific activities for each one of them. I believe when God sends angels in our lives, most of the time, we don't know it. But when God sends them, he has a specific message for us or a specific activity for us, and it's important that we listen. I think we should always be on the lookout for angels. You're probably not going to see them, but I think we can certainly be on the lookout for places where angels intervene in our lives and protect us and guide us and give us messages that God wants us to have. They are ambassadors that appear on God's behalf for us. So not only do they give us a first response of fear that we have the opportunity to choose faith, but they're angelic ambassadors. They come with a message. There's a reason that they appear and that they show up in our lives. And then lastly, I want you to catch this. I thought was another interesting similarity of each one of the stories. But did you notice in each one of the stories that when the angel appeared, he appeared specifically to Joseph and nobody else? He appeared specifically to Zechariah and nobody else. He appeared specifically and spoke with Mary and nobody else. In not any of those three situations did an angel appear to a group of people. I don't know about you, but for me, when I have an opportunity to preach, or if I'm speaking to a big group, I will share the gospel with you like this. But when I share the gospel outside of here, 99 times out of 100, it'll be with one person. I don't like to do it in a group of people. I don't want to call somebody out in front of others. I think it's interesting why God would send his angel of the Lord to appear to just one person at a time. I think there's a couple possible reasons. As I was thinking about it this week, why would that even be that God would send them that way? Because I know this about Joseph. Joseph knew for certain that there was no one there but him. That other person had to be an angel. Zechariah knew where he was. There wasn't anybody else there but him. It had to be an angel. Mary knew that there was nobody else there but her. So that had to be an angel who spoke to her. But I also wonder if the reason that God appeared to each one of them through an angel, or sent an angel to speak to each one of them just one-on-one, is because if there had been a group of people there, I wonder how many of the people there would have went, or would have reacted in some way that would have been a discouragement to Joseph or to Zechariah or to Mary. Because even though we would all say we believe in angels, we would all, if we're not careful, have a tendency to explain away angelic activity in our lives and in the lives of others. Isn't it amazing how quick we are to attribute evil works to spiritual beings? Man, if something goes wrong in life, we're real quick to say, well, I'm telling you, the devil's alive and the devil's at work in our world today. But when good things happen, we want to just play it off to coincidence. Well, boy, that sure worked out good, didn't it? Well, I'm glad that worked out as well as it did. Who would have thought it would work out like that instead of saying, hey, I bet God sent angels. I bet God intervened somewhere. We have a tendency to give credit to the negative, to the bad, to the evil, and yet we oftentimes don't have the courage and the confidence to say, hey, when it worked out well, that had to be a God thing. And we do sometimes do that, but not always do we attribute it to angels, but sometimes we'll try to explain it away in a different way. So when I think about the angels and I think about the similarities, they each had fear or they each had some kind of apprehension when the angels appeared. The message that each one of the angels had for them was a specific message for each one of them, and that they are there on God's behalf. The second thing I want us to look at this morning is that God uses angels to achieve his plan. Now, when you think of each one of these for Joseph, and when you think of Zechariah and you think of Mary, what part of the plan were they to play in God's overall plan for the kingdom of heaven? What was the role that each of them had? What was it that made their role scary, or what was it that made their role difficult? When you think about it, for Joseph, it was pretty easy. The part of the role that God wanted him to play that was scary or difficult was with his reputation. You see, he had asked a lady to marry him. He was engaged. And all of a sudden, she came up pregnant, and he knew it wasn't from him. His reputation was at stake. When you think about Zechariah, what was it in Zechariah that to fulfill the words of the angel in Zechariah's life, what was the thing that Zechariah had to deal with? What was the fear that he had to work with? What was his scary part or his difficult part of the words that the angel spoke to him? I think it was that it was just simply unbelievable. It says that he was so old and the people knew that his wife was childless. She wasn't able to have children. It's pretty spectacular when you think of the idea for each one of them that they have something different. For Mary, what would it be in the words of the angel that would make it scary or difficult for her? Just simply that's impossible. We all have sat through eighth grade science. Virgins don't get pregnant. Hers was absolutely impossible. Except what does the verse say right at the end of Mary's story? You catch that, what it says right at the end of Mary's story? But all things are possible with God. When I say that, there's a number of you, if not all of you in here, when I say all things are possible with God, it should just bring a smile to your face. The things that we think are impossible, they're not. God can work those things out. For each one of them, as you think about the fact that Joseph had to deal with his reputation and Zechariah had to deal with his idea of unbelievable that his wife was childless and they were too old and Mary the impossible. Isaiah chapter 7 that is quoted right here, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." When he's prophesying about the Messiah, he says the virgin will conceive and have a son and name him Emmanuel. We talk about it at Christmas time, but what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. We talk about it at Christmas time, but other times of the year we don't often think about Emmanuel, God with us. The idea that Isaiah would have the confidence to prophesy that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, absolutely impossible, but yet he would have the confidence in God that God told him that and he would prophesy it, knowing that people would think he was a nut. And yet he trusted the Lord that much. When you think in terms of Joseph with his reputation, here's what I want you to know. God is more in control than we think. God had it all worked out for Joseph. When you think in terms of Zechariah, the fact that it's just unbelievable that his wife, who is too old to have children and besides that had been childless her whole life, I want you to remember this. God is more in control than we think. And when you think of Mary and the fact that what would make the words of the angel scary or difficult to her is the fact that he is telling her something that is scientifically impossible. What I would say to you there is that God is more in control than we think. If I could get you to remember anything this morning from the sermon, it would be that. God is more in control than we think. God is more in control than we think. And God is more in control than we think. This morning, I hope you'll go away from church with the idea and the understanding that God is more in control than we think. My question to you this morning is, would you like to be more used by God? Would you like to be used by God? Would you like to know this God who uses angels and people to do His work? I think the answer is affirmative for each one of us here. We do want to be used by God. And we do want to be used more by God. And we do want to be used by God in the way that He uses angels and the fact that He does use people in other people's lives to help accomplish His purpose. You're not an angel. You'll never be an angel. But it doesn't mean that you can't take on the role of an angel in someone else's life to encourage them, to challenge them, to give them God's message, to be His ambassador for others, and to know and to encourage them to know that God is more in control than we think. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the message of the angels this morning. Lord, I thank You for the example of people in the Scriptures like Joseph. Lord, we hear that story so much, and sometimes we don't think about the ramifications of it and how perplexing and fearful that would be to Joseph. Lord, the same for Zechariah. And Lord, that we read in the Scriptures that He doesn't speak again until John is born. And then He says, first words, His name, or that He writes, His name will be John. And then He's able to speak and tell them the story. And Lord, for Mary, to imagine where she was, that You asked her to be a part of the impossible. Lord, I pray for each of us that You would help us to know in our lives that we can live by faith and not by fear, because You are more in control than we think. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.